This is CliffCentral.com.
Leadership in Education, Adrian Groenewald here. Louis Groenewald, the old man with me. And then in the studio, Sibongile Khumalo. Sibongile, I did not know that you're off to Washington. Tell us about this little rumor yet. And what is this story? We want to put a block there because now you're coming into the studio more. So we want to stop you from going. So just tell us about it so that we know what we're dealing with.
Well, I will be back, but I'm going away on the Young African Leaders Initiative's Mandela Washington Fellowship.
So that's with the crowd that's going with Catherine Constantinides.
Yes,
and stuff. It's just more of a loud noise around her because she's kind of prominent.
Yeah.
But
but there are 1,000 fellows going from all of Africa.
All over.
49 countries.
And now. South Africa itself?
There are 60 of us from South Africa.
That's what I remember.
And we all spread across 40 colleges and universities in the US.
How did that come to you?
It didn't come to me. I applied for it.
You applied to it for it and you were accepted?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. And why do you look forward to that?
I look forward to it because it's a great opportunity to learn. So it's a short academic and leadership development program of about 6 weeks. And
so it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard work. It's not just fun sitting around. And
yeah, of course. And then in the end, of course, it will be fun because we'll be meeting President Obama at the summit in Washington.
Who's he? He's almost past, man. He's like,
he's
it's now
around.
Trump and Clinton.
Oh, no, we don't know those people.
Yeah, no, maybe we don't want to. But anyway, all right. So today's leadership and education, we've got on the line the principal. We'll go to him in a moment. But first, firstly, a reminder, last week we had Dr. Daya Chetty on from Sapa Gauteng and had an interesting conversation with him. So you can download that podcast. And maybe, I don't know, is there anything happening on the leadership front, the education front? Sibongile?
Nothing new, Adrian, that I haven't spoken about, but I think this deserves another punt. We'll be having an Access Summit. It's an education summit of all stakeholders in education from the 10th to the 15th of July, and Bridge will be co-hosting a dialogue with the City Press there. So exciting stuff. On the 13th of July, that dialogue.
All right, so who must attend their principals?
So this is stakeholders in education, anybody. Students will be there for Aspiring Teachers Summit, any teachers, school leaders, or anybody working in the education space.
All right. Okay, on the line we've got Mr. Godzwana, principal of Daliwonga Primary in Soweto. Welcome, Mr. Godzwana.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. What is your first name?
My first name is Michael.
So it's Michael. That's very simple.
And the point of correction is Daliwonga Secondary School.
Let me get that again. Say again.
It's Daliwonga Secondary School.
Daliwonga Secondary School.
Yeah,
okay.
The principal of Daliwonga Secondary School.
Let me get that. Yeah. So it's not a primary school.
No, no, it's a secondary school.
How long have you been the principal there, Michael?
Now it's 7 years.
7 years. All right.
Yeah.
That's quite long. What is the average tenure of a principal these days? Do we have that kind of statistic, Sibongile? Do you know?
All I know is that most principals have been in their positions for 40 odd years.
Very
or
long.
30, rather.
Yeah, it can be a long
yeah.
time. But 7 years, very experienced. And before you became the principal there, Michael?
Yes, I was the deputy in another school. It was a girls' school in Zola. But still in Soweto.
So,
before that, I was the HOD in another school in Soweto. It was the HOD that's PL2.
Mm.
Before PL2, I was the PL1 educator in Lane, that is Leonard South Secondary.
All right, so you've been in Soweto environment quite a long time.
Yes.
Is that where you grew up as a child?
No, I was born and bred in Limpopo.
Okay.
So I came here beside 1996.
All right.
I started teaching there in Lane.
Okay, tell us about your school, just so that we understand the logistics here, the size of it, the kind of children you get, the kind of socioeconomic background and context.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Just give us the context of your school. Tell us about your school, the kids that we find there, the socioeconomic context of your pupils. Just a little bit more about your school.
Daliwonga Secondary School was built in 1974.
Yeah.
So now it's more than 40 years old. It's a school which is located in Deep Soweto. And it is predominantly the school of learners who are coming from the poorest of the poor background.
Mm.
And it's an office school. Learners don't pay school fees. And we're experiencing a lot of problems, like the drug abuse, alcohol abuse, maybe the parents who are not working and learners who are staying with the grannies. So basically, it is very possible.
So
under all odds, we are emerging victorious.
Yeah, so you've got all the challenges you can possibly wish for. As a principal, you probably have it there.
Yes.
From crime to poverty to, it's just under-resourced, so you struggle to have a good governing body, limited finance, you have to involve the community a lot. It's not easy.
Yes, it's not easy. It's very difficult.
But at least you have a 8-to-3 job, hey?
The 8-to-3
job. Or are you one of those principals, you're there at 6 and you leave at the last?
Yes, I'm the first to arrive and the last to leave.
That is just long days.
Yes, more than 8 hours every single day, Monday to Friday, and even Saturday I'm here sometimes.
And your school came into being about 2 years before the Soweto uprising?
Yes.
So I'm sure it's got its own heritage there. Apparently, despite all these challenges, your school performs exceptionally well in terms of curriculum, and I heard extramural activities. Tell us about this.
Yes, for the past 5 years, our school was doing exceptionally well. In 2009, we managed to get 91.6. In 2012, it was 95.1%. That is a grade 12 result. Yes?
Yeah, the metrics.
Yeah. In 2013, it was 93.8%. In 2014, it was 98.5%. 2015, it was 98.2%. So this clearly shows that we are working very hard and we are getting good results.
All right, now so, this is where you tell us your secret.
Oh, must I tell you the secret? Why are you getting these results?
Yeah, there's an upward trend, and I guess you can't do much better, although 100% is always ideal, but why are you achieving that from a, I guess this is the curriculum side of things, Sibongile.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you achieving that and maybe the school down the road is not?
Yes. Basically, we are doing the basic thing, amongst others, is to create the conducive learning environment for the teachers, so that teachers must excel in class, they must be ordered, they must be disciplined. And we start all this at the gate to make sure that learners are on time and even teachers are on time. And learners also put on the full school uniform. And after that, they obviously go to the assembly area. Then we talk to them. From there, they go to their respective classes. And we must make sure that we issue out the report cards last day of the term. So we do that by managing all the exam activities, make sure that teachers mark on time, so that when we come the following year, then following term, then we start on a clean slate. So we don't have a situation whereby when teachers are coming the second term, then teachers are still marking and so on and so forth. So we make sure that we finish everything the last day of the term, then second term, then we start on a clean slate. Mm. And also have the extra classes. We have the morning classes, we also have the afternoon classes, we also have the Saturday classes, and those are monitored by me as the principal and even the deputy. And also have the study on Thursday every single week. We make sure that there's a 2-hour study. So that one is specifically for study. And it's also been monitored by the school management team, that is the SMT. So we also have what we call the SIP classes, which is on Saturday and even holiday classes. So the greater part of the time we're at school to make sure that these learners are at school and they're being taught. Although when you talk about the SIP classes, it's the one which is funded by Cybono. So Cybono makes sure that they give us the material for the tutors and we give it to learners and learners obviously must learn. So again, we also monitor and support the SMT, that is school management team, be it the HOD, the deputy, and even myself, I'm being supported and I'm also being monitored. So Basically, it's the prerogative of the principal to make sure that I manage the deputies, then the deputies must also manage the HODs, then HODs must also manage the subordinates. Those are the PL1 educators. So to make sure that they're in class all the time and they're doing justice in class.
Okay.
So, it is the duty of the HOD to make sure that they also identify the underperforming teachers so that we monitor and also support them. We also coach them to make sure that they are, there is an effective teaching and learning in class. So basically, we also have the extramural activities. I heard you talking about music.
Okay, now before we go there, because you said a lot of valuable things. Now, I'll be right back with you with a question. But Sibongile, Louis, it sounds like basics and more. What do you pick up from what this principal is doing that's helping them succeed?
The main thing that I pick up was a topic of discussion, I think, for 2 weeks in a row here by one of the principals who actually spoke about planning. And what I'm picking up from Mr. Godzana here is that there's great planning at his school. He spoke about not leaving results or reports to the next term so that we start off on a clean slate. So I think that's number one lesson for principals for running a school, the planning.
That's right. That does come out there, Louis.
I love the Michael, the principle of simplicity. We always test leaders by the ability to zero in on essences of things and then contextual relevance. So in your case, I love the way you press the base order, discipline. Everybody knows where they stand. Good follow-up. These are vital things. We mustn't underestimate them. Thanks for that.
Michael, why? I mean, I hear you do some basic powerful things well. But also a lot of extra in there, a lot of extra classes, a lot of extra on Saturdays, a lot of so going the extra mile. Why do this? It's not like your salary is going to double. It's not like you're paid more than the principal next door for doing more and going the extra mile. Why do you do it?
Basically, we're doing this for drilling purposes because sometimes you find that we have done everything in class. But these learners need revision. So we have this morning class and afternoon classes for drilling purposes to revise previous question papers. And for the teachers who are still lagging behind, then they will have ample time to finish the syllabus. So basically we're doing that and to make sure that those learners who are doing exceptionally well, then they must pass with flying colors. And those who are still below the 30s, then you push them to the 30s so that at the end of the day they pass.
Okay.
So that's why I was saying 100% pass.
Yeah, but I'm interested in you personally. Michael, why do you put in so much extra effort? What drives you? Well, why do it?
It's because I've got a passion. I love this job. You know, we always say teaching is a call. So maybe to me it's a call, and that's why I'm going extra mile. When these learners pass, then I become the happiest person, let alone the learners and even the parents, the community, teachers, and so on and so forth. So as the principal of the school, obviously, I become very happy when these learners pass with flying colors.
So your passion...
You want to maintain and defend the reputation of the school. Isn't it Dalonga is the best school in Soweto, and even in our district, we are always in the top five, including the private schools. So for the past 5 years, we've been in the top five. So we definitely need to make sure that we maintain and defend our position.
All right, so there is a bigger thing that drives you, the passion, but now there's also pride, and now there's culture, now there's a reputation to uphold, now there's more things to defend and to fight for than a couple of years back, like remaining the top school. And once one gets there, it just adds to the motivations and the whole reason why we wake up early and try and do our things. And when you employ or a new teacher comes on board, they must understand this is the school to be in. This is the place to be. So there's a whole pride thing, a culture, right?
Yes. Right.
All right, the extramural activities.
Yes.
What is so good about your extramural activities?
Dalonga is known of all sporting activities, be it soccer, debate, music. Although at this point in time, the buzzword is music because we also have what we call the magnet at Dalong. So this year only we managed to get more than 12 trophies. We were competing at the district level. After that, we went to the region. Last week, we were at the provincial level. So we're winning trophies all the way. Although last year we managed to represent Gauteng at the national level in music. But this year we only got 3 positions on 3 categories. So in soccer, we also maintaining and defending our cluster trophy. And even in the athletics, the 100 meters, 200 meters, and so on and so forth. So basically, in extramural activities, we are there. And even in debate, last time we were the best school in our Soweto TV, we managed to win one trophy in debate. So basically, we're encouraging and motivating these learners so that they become disciplined.
Well,
we always say these extramural activities discipline learners. So they become committed and dedicated to extramural activities and even to curriculum matters.
So I'm interested in how you can achieve on that level without the necessary resources, perhaps. Because you obviously don't have wealthy parents who can put money into the school. You get minimal from government. So how do you achieve on that level without an abundance of resources?
Basically, we are limping financially. That is a fact. And we definitely need the financial muscle to be able to go extra mile and maybe to win a lot of trophies. So what is left with what we have at school is the human resource. We've got teachers who are committed and dedicated to their work. We also have learners who are also committed. And we also have the parents who are also supporting us to make sure that all our learners are engaged in all these activities. And even the SGP, they're also supporting us a lot. So with the little amount that we have, then we make sure that we share it accordingly and make sure that these learners are engaged in all these activities.
Mm. Yeah, you see, you've got lots of excuses in many other schools, Sibongile, but somehow it sounds like, without having all the facts, that you as a principal with a team, big school, just under 1,000 students, under-resourced environment, lots of all the challenges you can complain about as a principal. But guess what? They are performing academically.
And
they're performing on all other fronts.
Yeah, and Michael says very clearly that he's got the passion. He calls it a calling. He's been called to do this job. You know, he's created a culture of excellence, of performance, of hard work in his school. But what I'm really interested in, Michael, is the fact that you are actually collaborating and working in partnership with other schools, other principals in your area. And it would be great if you could tell us about that.
Basically, we are working very closely with other schools, more especially in sub classes, because on Saturday and even holiday classes, I'm the site manager of four schools. That is Dalonga, Beas Nodia, Mnuve, and Tatuhang. So these four schools are coming to Dalonga because I'm the site manager, so I'm managing all of them. So the principals also come, then we share the good practices in our schools. So more often than not, these teachers, these principals are here, or even other SMT members, be it the deputies, be it the HOD, then we help one another and we advise one another correctly to make sure that at the end of the day, these learners benefit.
So you've got a lot of involvement with other principals, and that makes a difference, does it?
Yeah, exactly. It makes a difference because obviously you can't be knowing everything, so you learn from other principals as well when you share all these good practices.
You know, Michael, one of the things that we found working with principals, communities of practice in Gauteng, in Ekurhuleni, four things actually, that if there's a kind of common purpose and trust amongst the principals, a kind of sense of belonging, because we find that principals feel they work in isolation. And also if you create a kind of reflective space in which principals can share, then these are the ingredients for good collaboration and joint project work. I wonder if you can share some examples of work that you've done jointly with principals in that, I don't know if you call it a sector, you're a manager for the four schools. What are some of the examples of what the principals in those four schools have achieved together?
Sometimes is the issue of compliance, wherein I help them about some of the circulars. For instance, we've got Circular 45 of 2008 that speaks to the types of leave. So I also capacitate other principals to make sure that they go back to school and make sure that it is implemented. Because if teachers know the types of leave, then they will make sure that they come to school every single day and that they don't stay absent for no apparent reason. Because sometimes we find that teachers maybe they stay absent for no apparent reason, and when they fill in the leaf forms, you find that they are losing out because it will be a leaf without peace. So if you capacitate them, then they know exactly what's expected of them. And given the issue of epic rule, wherein we say you stay absent maybe for first day in a week, then second day, second week, and so on and so forth. So if we capacitate them about the epic rule, then we find that greater part of the time teachers are coming to school. And if teachers are coming to school, then there will be order and discipline at school. Because if teachers are not coming to school, the problem is that you will find that you've got a relief timetable, but you can't fit all learners in different classes. So some of the learners will be out of the class, and that will cause chaos. So one class obviously is enough to cause chaos at school. So make sure that teachers are in class and all teachers are at school, then it becomes easy for you to manage and make sure that there's order and discipline at school. So those are some of the things that we share with the other principals. So basically, it's capacity building.
Yeah. The final question, just a general question for you, Michael, is your feelings about education in general. Are we preparing our kids for the future?
I would say, yes, we are definitely preparing our learners for the future.
Are we doing it well enough?
But I think not all of us are pulling our weight. But if all of us are pulling our weight, it becomes easy and simple for all of us. Because we definitely need to make sure that these learners pass with flying colors so that they'll be able to go to these tertiary institutions. Because if they drop out, then it becomes a burden and problem to all of us. And others of us will be engaged in these criminal activities. But as a school, if we make sure that every single day, when learners are at school, then we make sure that there's an effective teaching and learning. Then one thing for sure, learners will pass and will be the happiest people as a school, as a country, and the learners will also benefit.
So what more we can do to prepare our kids is everyone must just pull their weight, and that'll take us a long way towards preparing these youngsters for a world that is just almost difficult to describe where it's going.
Yes, you're right. Well, yeah, all of us are working very hard, one thing for sure, we'll emerge victorious. And against all odds, we will definitely emerge victorious.
Well, we appreciate your optimism, and thank you for the good work you're doing there in Soweto and the tips you gave us. Some basic tips, but some powerful principles, and we really enjoyed having you on the line. I wish you were in the studio, but that's okay. We still, I think, drew a lot of value from what you shared with us. Thanks a lot. That's Michael Godzana, principal of Daliwonga Secondary School. All right. That was interesting. Final comments, Sibongile and Louis?
Yeah, I think three things stood out for me. The first is passion, and in fact, I formed a triple P here. So the first is passion, and second thing is planning, and the third thing is partnerships. You know, he spoke about a partnership in terms of materials with Saibono, and I think those are the three ingredients that make his school successful.
Three P's, a good one.
In previous programs, Odin, we...
some more P's there, previous program.
we often discuss the necessity nowadays to look at the whys. Why am I doing this? Why am I a teacher? Why am I a principal? And those who've settled in what we call, in this case, the spirit of calling, have got a distinct advantage. Somehow you do things that are impossible because you've got this passion. If not, it's extremely difficult.
The why is much clearer for you, the passion. And purpose. Passion, purpose. This is the day of the peas. Now listen, Sibongile, enjoy. We won't have... You're leaving soon.
Yes, I leave on Thursday, and we'll be back on the 5th of August. So I'll join you on the 9th of August, I think it should be.
All right. So, you know, fly the flag. As I said to Catherine Constantinides, who was sitting right there, is, you know, we can learn from them, but they can learn from us.
And we'll come back to speak to you.
We'll come tell us what,
Catherine.
Yeah, come summarize it. Maybe we have you and Catherine and someone else here for a whole show and tell us exactly what you took away from it and what you taught them.
Yes, I'm up for that.
Thank you so much. Look forward to being with you next week again. Leadership Transformation Platform from 12 to 3 every Monday. Have a great week, everyone.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye, a proudly South African multi-commodity mining company. This is CliffCentral.com.